Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Cultaholic Island. It is a brand new desert island. Graps, this is where we invite the great, the good, and the in-between of the wrestling world to sample the wares of Cultaholic Island. And they are invited to bring three wrestling matches along for the journey with them. Today, joined from Puerto Rico, which is down the way from Cultaholic Island. Don't check on a map, you won't see it. You may know her as NYC Demon Diva, but we know and love her as Issa. Issa, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm in an actual island. How on point is it?
Very on point that you are on an island, physically and on an island metaphorically. If you are not one of our Patreons, you can't see the video version of this, but we are currently in the company of not just Issa, but Roman as well.
The big dog.
The big dog is here. Now, the other day, Roman caused you a bit of trouble. He was faking an injury, wasn't he?
Oh my God. I was not prepared for this. And I'm usually not a very emotional person, but the way he was acting, I started crying.
Oh. What happened?
I started
Tell
crying.
Us.
He slipped. He gets in and out of my car every day. I take him for car rides. It's his favorite thing. And it was raining, so I think he might have slipped and fell and landed on concrete. So I saw him hit the ground hard, and then he started acting like he couldn't move the bottom half of his body, and he was shaking, and I was shaking. It was a mess. It was a mess. But I offered a tweet, and suddenly everything went away.
It's heartbreaking. Our boy, my wife's cat, Pablo. I had a message the other day from my wife to be, and she went, "Pablo's limping," and it rips your heart out, doesn't it? When it's your pet,
yes.
And they're like, "Something's wrong. Something's wrong." As the day went on, he was fine. But you immediately Google it, and I Googled about like, "Oh, my black cat has started limping." And the amount of people, Issa, the amount of people that said, "Oh, sometimes they do it just for attention." And I feel like I'm not casting aspersions on Roman here, but do you think maybe he was doing it just to get a bit of attention?
I like to think he was in a little bit of shock. Roman thinks that he's a 100-pound pit bull. Like, that's how he acts. It's not a me podcast or stream if you don't hear him barking in the background. He attacks anybody that comes within 100 feet of me. Like, Roman is a beast. And you know, I lived in New York for 10 years. I just came back to Puerto Rico recently. In New York, everything is so convenient. His vet came to me. So I'm like thinking, I don't even know if there's 24-hour vet clinics in Puerto Rico. I'm like freaking out. I'm like, in New York, I will have a vet knocking on my door in 5 minutes. That's not how it goes here. So it was a bit of an adventure. And I still, 2 days later, I'm still checking on him every 5 minutes.
It's been an eventful couple of days. Not only Roman and his possibly faked injury for attention, we're not too sure. But you enjoyed what you beautifully described as you celebrated 4 decades around the sun, which is a lovely way to put it.
yes, I cannot believe we got there, but here we are.
Before we get into your three matches, what three bits of advice would you give your 30-year-old self?
You know, if I'm being honest with you, my 30s were my best years. Mm. I moved to New York pretty much days before turning 30. That was my dream. When I left Puerto Rico back at 19, the ultimate goal was New York City. But obviously, I couldn't afford it. My mom wasn't happy with me moving on my own. So I moved to the Midwest in the United States because my grandpa lived there. So I had some kind of family, you know, some support. And on my 30s, I did everything that I wanted to do. So I wouldn't change anything out of what I did. I think the number one advice that I would give myself is it's going to be okay, because I was put in a lot of situations. I went through cancer. I lost a lot of really good jobs. It's New York City. It's rough. If you're not ready for it, it'll eat you alive. But I would say it's going to be okay. Don't worry. Make that decision that you're thinking about making. And this is definitely better than your 20s.
There is, what was the phrase that somebody told me? Was in your 20s, you worry about going to a party and nobody liking you. But in your 30s, you worry about going to a party and not liking anyone there.
Exactly. And in your 40s, you buy the drinks.
In 40s, you're glad to be invited to a party. You're just happy to be there.
Right.
Want to talk about your adventure that's taken you to the heart of New York City and back again, and the trials and tribulations from it, and of course your work with Lucha Libre Online, your work with Wrestling Inc. You are very much a major part of the journalistic scene across the wrestling landscape. But whilst we're on the desert island, you've got to choose three matches that you watch while you are here. We're going to go through them one by one throughout our time together. What would you like your first match to be, Issa?
So I was trying to figure out how to sort these matches. Because I'm a big wrestling fan, and I grew up watching a different kind of wrestling, right? I grew up in Puerto Rico, born and raised in this beautiful island. So I fell in love with Capital Sports Promotion, now known as WWC. That's the wrestling I grew up watching. We didn't have cable. I wasn't watching WWF. So a lot of the matches and a lot of the criticism that I get is because when it comes to WWE, I'm a newer fan. I started watching it like religiously in 2015. So when you ask me who your favorites of all time are, my responses are not the typical responses. And I get a lot of, well, I named my dog Roman. Let's just start by that. Okay. So so I was trying to think, the first match that I want to talk to you about is the match that made me go, oh, holy crap, I love this so much. And that match is Brock Lesnar against Seth Rollins against John Cena at the Royal Rumble 2015 for the WWE Championship.
So you said yourself that you were a bit of a late bloomer when it came to WWE. How right. much WWE had you sampled by the time that this match rolled around?
Okay, so I started watching it. The reason why I got back into it, I stopped watching wrestling when I decided to go to college because priorities, right? My sister decides to give birth to three beautiful boys who all loved wrestling. So I'm like, okay, let me get in tune with it just so that I have something to chat with them about. You know, I wanted to connect. So I will watch on and off WrestleManias, Royal Rumbles when I had to pay for the freaking pay-per-view back then, you know? But back at the end of 2014, I remember telling my nephew, listen, I'm going to take you to a live taping of something, okay, because you love it so much. And I was working across the street from the Barclays Center, actually, in Brooklyn. And it was the very first taping of a Monday Night Raw. This was in 2014, probably summer. It was the very first taping of a Monday Night Raw in that building. And it happened to be on his birthday weekend. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. So I flew him into New York. I took him there. And I just remember having the time of my life. So if you ask me to any live wrestling event, I'm going to say yes. I adore the experience of watching the shows live. It's like nothing you've ever seen before. So on and off since 2014, so I'm going to say about half a year, probably that Survivor Series where Sting shows up is the very first pay-per-view that I remember watching where I haven't probably missed one ever since. So just around that area. So a few months before this Royal Rumble match.
What were some of as a fan, what were some of the major differences that you spotted and you felt between what went on to become WWC and WWE?
I mean, Puerto Rico wrestling is very different. My very first memory of professional wrestling, Tom, is Abdullah the Butcher versus Carlitos Colon. And he's bleeding like tons, and hardcore wrestling is such a big part of the kind of wrestling that I grew up watching. I mean, I like to think Puerto Rico is one of the pillars of hardcore wrestling. The very first Fire and Death match was made here, one of the very first places where a foreign object was introduced into a match. So yeah, sometimes I've been watching this kind of wrestling and people flipping around and I'm like, pussies, that's not how you really wrestle. Get up, hard one and hit each other with it, you know, because that's what I grew up. Over the years, I've learned to appreciate all of the types of wrestling, but it is a complete different beast. And the fans here in Puerto Rico are very vocal. They will insult the wrestlers. They can hear it. They insult them back. You know, it's a whole different beast.
It really does feel like that when you watch both products, how different they stand out. But so by the time that the Rumble match has come round and you've been dipping into it, you've got a taste for it. Why does this match stand out to you as the one that really made you turn your head to WWE?
So my nephew got me back into it back when I took into that Monday Night Raw. I loved it. My nephew's a kid back then. He's a grown man now with a kid. It's crazy. But he's the biggest John Cena fan in the world. And he thinks he's going to influence me, right? Because he's bringing me in. He's like, oh, Titi, that's how you say auntie. Titi likes wrestling. I'm going to teach her everything about it. I automatically hate John Cena. Hated him. I knew about him. Didn't like him. So we're going into this match. Obviously, he's favorite in it. Now, MMA, I've always been a big fan. And I've always been a big fan of Brock Lesnar. So I'm thinking, okay, Brock Lesnar is in it. I'm in. I flew my nephew. We watched this event together. We didn't go to it. We were gonna because Philly wasn't far, but we decided to just watch it at home. And then there's Seth Rollins. And the thing that shocked me the most is that taping that I took my nephew to. I remember seeing the Shield come down through the crowd and how exciting it was. I remember seeing Roman Reigns and thinking, oh, I've been missing out. I need to start watching wrestling. But I didn't know who this Seth Rollins person was. And the thing that I love about this match is that you have Brock Lesnar, probably my second favorite of all time. You have John Cena, the face of the company, and the person that I fell in love with and automatically became top three for me was Seth Rollins. And it was after watching that match.
It's a stunning piece of work, is that triple threat. And it's a nice choice to have for your first one. You've mentioned there about how you were into wrestling and it dropped away. College stepped in. What was the plan for you at that point when you were studying at college? What was the ambition for you, as well as wanting to go to New York City and live out that dream? What sort of career-wise did Issa have planned?
So I have three degrees per se. It's a fun fact. Not a lot of people know that about me. The first one I got while I still lived here, and that was tourism, because I'm thinking if I'm going to stay in Puerto Rico, tourism is the way to go, right? When I went to the States and I'm living in the Midwest, I went to school for business management because it's the Midwest. It's a safe career. And I also got a certificate in computer science. I hate it. I don't even know why I did that. But it was business management. I was working as a regional manager at that time. I was running multiple retail locations for Verizon Wireless. So, you know, it's a whole where life has taken me now to where I was like 10 years ago, when I'm just doing all these corporate things and wrestling was just the getaway hobby. It was always a hobby. It was never meant to be a career, but here we are.
You mentioned there about working higher up in Verizon and that whole system. So was that have been like a management trajectory for you to become like a big wig amongst that company?
Yeah. I left retail and went into co-working, worked for some major companies, for some big people. You know, I went all the way up to VP of operations was the role that I was laid off from when the pandemic hit. So
you were even so in, as soon as like just a couple of years ago, like that was something still there. How have you found the transition moving away from that line of work into throwing yourself into wrestling and the online world?
It's been something. You know, I'm very much a perfectionist, so I'm never going to go into something and not give it my all. But it was very hard to take a shot at it full time. And being a woman, somebody that hasn't been watching my whole life, not the same kind of wrestling that everybody watched, it was intimidating. I have an accent. I am very unfiltered, and I know that my opinion, sometimes people love it, sometimes people hate it. So it was quite intimidating, and that's a word that I don't use a lot.
What were some of the early mistakes that you made? Sort of, maybe we don't really make mistakes, but you know what I mean, those early missteps that you made as you started out betting on yourself, as it were?
Probably, I mean, I guess I went into it innocently thinking, oh yeah, I'm gonna kill it and I'm gonna be okay, and and not knowing what I was doing. The first part was my YouTube channel. It was a hobby because I had a job. So I would just upload a reaction here and there when I would attend an event as a fan, but I wasn't taking it as seriously as I am now. The editing, like I look back at my early work, some of the early podcasts that I do, and I was like, I had no idea what I was talking about. you know, and obviously just not having the knowledge. I think the thing that I appreciate the most now is just taking the time to learn. And I always loved it, but learn the years that I missed out on. Because while I do love nostalgia, I think it's a matter of like just having the knowledge. So the more you know, the better you are at what you're doing. So it was taking the time to learn about those years that I missed out on.
And there was so much that happened in those years as well. And it's wonderful to, I feel there's always a sense of envy that you get to go back and live so many of these great wrestling memories for the very first time. Cause I've pretty much been a fan since the late 80s and seen pretty much everything as it's come and gone. So it's nice that you get to see it all with fresh eyes. And it makes breaking down three matches difficult, which right. brings us to our second match. What would you like your second match to be, Issa?
Oh my God, I struggle with this one because I knew I wanted to have a Royal Rumble match in there, right? I'm thinking I'm going to be on an island. It's going to be a match that I can watch over and over again. It's my favorite match of the year. I look forward to it. And while there was a very close one that didn't make the list, I went with the Royal Rumble match, the men's Royal Rumble match of 2020.
So why that one in particular?
I think that match was absolutely perfect. I got to experience it live. And I think sometimes when you experience something live, you have a better understanding, like not understanding, a much a different kind of love for these matches than the matches that you watch on TV. I loved seeing Brock Lesnar dominate that first half. Obviously, if you can't tell by now, I call him Beastie, okay? I call him Beastie. Beastie is a big part of my wrestling watching experience, and that's controversial on its own. But I love the way that he dominated. I love the way that his elimination felt, which to me, I didn't even think Drew McIntyre would go on to win because I felt him getting that elimination of Brock was it. He was made. The return of Edge, non-spoil, no offense to those of us who work in wrestling media. I know that we're about the scoops. But sometimes having a surprise that's non-spoiled is just so much different. Like the atmosphere around me, the place went crazy. It was just, it's one of those matches that I could watch over and over. I took your assignment very literal. And it was like, what matches can I watch over and over if I'm stranded in an island? And this is one that I wouldn't get tired of seeing.
It's a good choice of Royal Rumble because you've got 30 people in there that you can enjoy the work of. With this
Do you wanna know, wait. Do you want to know which one got cut off? It was between two.
Go on, tell me which one didn't make the cut.
2018 Men's Royal Rumble.
Oh.
I also got to experience that one live. And I will tell you one thing. I prefer the winner of the 2018. No shade on Drew McIntyre, but I'm a huge Shinsuke Nakamura fan. And I love that moment of the past and the present, the final eight, just facing each other. Like, oh my God, it was incredible. But the return of Edge, you know, seeing Roman being the last eliminated, well, that was the case on both of them. Roman always somehow ends up always being eliminated last. But 2020 probably had the edge because of the edge return, no pun intended.
There's not many things that we look back on from 2020 and smile about. But I think Edge's return is probably maybe one of three things that we look back on that right. awful year and smile about.
And you talk about that. Everything changed after that. That was the last live event that I attended for a long period of time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
That rumble, the only good things to really come out of 2020, it was, by the sounds of it, it was a rough year for you, because you said that was the year that the shoot job changed and you started betting on wrestling. And I want to talk about your journey to New York. Why was New York so important for you to get to?
So I grew up watching baseball games with my dad and my mom. They're both huge baseball fans. And my mom is a huge Yankees fan. So some of the memories that I have is just watching Yankees games with my family. Opening day was always a big deal in my household. And I just remember telling my dad, don't laugh at me right now, but at one point, I told my dad that when I grew up, I wanted to sell hot dogs at Yankee Stadium so that I could go to every game for free.
I mean, that's genius as a kid. That's a genius ploy to go, yeah, that gets me into the games.
My dad ended up telling me, why don't you go with a career that you can afford to have season tickets and go to every Yankee game, you know? And I'm like, okay. So I, for some reason, since that moment, I made it my goal that I was going to buy season tickets at Yankee Stadium, and I was going to go to a game with my mom and my dad, separately because they're divorced, and I was going to sit them on my seats and they were going to be proud. So believe it or not, the whole New York dream started because of the Yankees and baseball.
Wow. And did you achieve that dream? Have you got your parents to the Yankees?
Oh, I got season tickets for 3 seasons of the Yankees. I took my dad and he got more emotional than me. It was funny because I was like, come sit at my seat. I took my mom to the original meeting that I had with the sales staff to, you know, purchase this. These tickets are expensive. I'm still like older me now is thinking, why did you spend all that money on that? It was worth every cent, but it was expensive. So I took my mom and she helped me pick out the seats with the best view that I could afford. And then I took her, you know, and then she watched a couple of games with me. But taking my dad, you know, who was the one who told me, don't shoot for selling hot dogs, let's shoot for something higher, you know. It was a moment that I will never forget.
Now, when you moved to New York, I love the fact that it was the Yankees that took you there, but you lived it. You went and lived in New York. How different was living in New York compared to the thought of living in New York?
Oh, it was everything I imagined. And can you calm down, sir? Everything I imagined and everything that I didn't imagine because of... I understood why my mom didn't originally want me to go to New York at 19 years old. That's how old I was when I left Puerto Rico. I don't think I would have made it in New York in my 20s. My priorities were not straight. I don't think I was as competitive, as serious as I was when I decided to make the move. But New York will eat you alive. It's not for everyone. I love it. I love New York. But I tell everybody, when people say, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere, it's a whole different meaning. It's not what you're thinking. It's not the fancy song in Sinatra telling you that. It's because you have to have the best survival skills to survive in New York City. You have to want it more than others. You have to work harder than others. If you are slacking at your job, there's the people waiting to take your job. Like, it is such a different atmosphere and a beast. It also really changes you as a human because you become so, I don't know how to say, you become very thick skinned. There's some things that could happen that I would probably have no reaction where most people be like, oh my God, I'll be like, yeah, it happens. And that's something that New York will do to you. You know, it almost takes away your sensitiveness and you become a very rough person. I know why New Yorkers are quote unquote assholes. You have to be.
I on YouTube, as well as following yourself, I follow a guy called Casey Neistat, who's a YouTuber from New York. Are you familiar with his work?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
And like the way that he presents New York is magnificent. and it's dirty, yeah. And it's exciting, and it's all those things that you described. Like, you've got to be a little bit thick-skinned, a little bit harder-edged in order to get through it. Talk me through a typical day for Issa in her 30s living the New York dream. What would your days normally go like there?
You know, to that presentation, there's also the fact that it's romantic, it's beautiful, it's convenient. Like, there's just nothing. I cannot get in New York at any time of the day, and I miss it like crazy now, you know, moving back here. A typical day started with, it depended. Like, you had to get up early because I used public transportation. Like, when I moved to Puerto Rico, back to Puerto Rico time, and I had to buy a car, that was the biggest anxiety I ever had. I'm like, wait, I have to drive this thing? Like, isn't there an Uber that's going to take me everywhere? Like, what is this? It would be taking a bus to the subway to then walk about 2 miles in high heels, because I'm always in high heels, to whatever job I was at. When I first moved to New York City, I had multiple locations. So a lot of the times that day involved going to Queens, to the Bronx, to Brooklyn, because I had locations everywhere. When I moved into the corporate aspect of things, I had different locations within the city. So I remember, this is a fun story. I was engaged, and he had a daughter, and she picked me to do the take your kid to work day. And she said, I will never, ever, ever want to do that again. She looked at her watch as she was wearing an Apple Watch, and I think we walked like 12 miles. We did like 15 meetings. We sold like 3 offices because I was selling share office space at the time. And she was like, no, you can cook. And I'm like, it's time when I get home. I don't want to cook.
it's not for everybody, is it?
It's not. And then you finish your day of work, and that's when you impact. Do you want to have a social life or not? Do you work out? I will be at the gym sometimes at like midnight, 1 a.m., but that would be the only time that I will have to do that, especially because during that period of time, I was creating wrestling content. It just wasn't what I was doing full time, but I was doing that as well. So I'm getting home from work at 7 p.m. to change, to watch Raw, to record my reactions, to upload them to my YouTube, to sleep 2 hours, and then do it again the next day.
There's something about that whole lifestyle that I'm fascinated by, and there's something about that time in the morning. You may start going to the gym at like 1 a.m. There's a really lovely peace that comes with the early starts. It's an obvious question, but are you an early starter?
Yes and no. It depends on if I sleep or not.
Is it like once you're asleep, then that's it, you're out like a light?
Right. But like, if I can function 2-3 hours of sleep, but I'm not a morning person, but I'm an early starter. I hope that makes sense.
Yes. Like, you don't live for mornings, there. But it's more a case of you go, like, I want to get started early. Let's go. It's our 4. It's 5 right. a.m. Off we go. Right.
It's time management. You can't waste those hours by sleeping in when you can get so many things done. So you just, you know, get it done when you can. But it doesn't mean that I'm the friendliest at those hours.
Do you know what? I'm weirdly with you on that. I get a lot of flack at work, and it does it does Alex, my good lady's head in. The fact that, like, I love, like, my alarm will go off at 4:30 because I love that time in the morning where you can just sort of make a coffee and just start on the day.
Right.
With the peace and watch the sun coming up a little bit during the summer. It's nice. There's a cat being a dickhead near you. Like, in my case, and in your case, it's a dog. But it's a cat being near you that's a bit of a dickhead. And it's nice time in the morning. I like it a lot. And the New York lifestyle that you've lived sort of fits your lifestyle as well. So if you don't mind me asking, what led to you moving back to Puerto Rico?
So I was doing what I do now, and I came to spend the holidays with my parents, and I realized that my mom's health wasn't in the best condition. You know, we're currently fighting the good fight of, I can't pronounce the name, but she's currently going through some kind of blood cancer. And I caught it when I came here, and I was like, hey, what I do, I can do from anywhere. So I'm staying. And I decided to stay. And I spent 20 years away from my parents at that point in my life. You start seeing them get older, you know, and the weather here is nice. And I gotta tell you something, life here is easy. I know a lot of people that live here that have never gotten out of here. They're not gonna tell you that. But after living in New York for over a decade, nothing here is just easy. People just wanna have a drink and go to the beach. And it's 82 degrees right now, Tom. Come on. I mean, in New York, it's freezing cold.
You're saying that to somebody who is in the United Kingdom, in Newcastle upon Tyne, where, as I check my phone, I can confirm that the current temperature just outside of this window here is a whopping 1 degree Celsius.
No.
Do you want to swap? I'm fine to swap.
No, come on over. I tell everybody, come to Puerto Rico. I'll show you around. I would love to. But
that sounds great. That sounds like a plan. I like that a lot.
Bring Pablo, bring the wife. I'll show you guys a great time. There's so much to see here.
Do not tempt. I imagine if I tell my wife that we're going to Puerto Rico, I think she'd have packed half the bags by the time I've said Puerto.
We have a rainforest. We have a bioluminescent bay that I can take you to. The old school forts. I'm telling you, you guys will love it.
Well, careful what you wish for. It sounds like with life in Puerto Rico, it's like pumping the brakes a little bit compared to New York. Is there any passion to go back and run at that pace again?
Yeah, every day. Yesterday I posted on my Twitter. Everybody thought I was crazy. I was like, oh, I woke up missing New York, so I did a 102 floor workout on my Stairmaster because that's how tall the Empire State Building is. Like, you know, I'm like, I'm gonna climb this Empire State Building today, every day. But it's not something that I'm going to do until things are perfectly okay and I don't feel needed here.
I totally get that. You went from living in New York, pursuing a very different career to the one that you have now, which is betting on yourself and working within the wrestling world as well. We see you popping up at WWC, which is lovely because that's the promotion that you fell in love with. You do stuff with Lucha Libre Online. Which was the first wrestling promotion to reach out to you?
So the Lucha Libre, first of all, Wrestling Inc. reached out to me in English, and I've always wanted to get into the Spanish speaking audience because I know how passionate we are as wrestling fans. When I came with Lucha Libre Online and I moved here because they're based out of here, it was a WWC event, the first one that I got to go and interview and do things. And like I told you, that's the wrestling I fell in love with growing up. That's what I would watch. And even just last Saturday, I was at an event they did. It was called Euphoria. And I had one of those moments that blew my mind because I'm looking to this direction and I see two legends that I grew up watching, two people that I know and love when I was little. I look in front of me and there's John Morrison, Fandango, people that I love with WWE, right? And then I look this way and there's the Puerto Rico, local Puerto Rico talent that you have to be from here to know who they are and what they got. And it was such a beautiful, mind-blowing moment where I'm like, is all of my wrestling worlds combined? I absolutely love that I can be a part of the local scene because Puerto Rico has some excellent wrestling.
It really does. What do you think to those, like, there'll be people who'll be watching this who may not have sampled the scene there at all, or maybe in a long while. What are some of the misconceptions about wrestling in Puerto Rico that we can expel today, you and I?
You know, some of the first things that people bring up to me is everything that happened with Bruiser Brody. Every time you say I'm from Puerto Rico, love WWC, that is one of the very first things that get brought up to me. I don't like talking about that incident, but I can understand that's the first thing that people think about. And I have to kind of like just show them the way, show them so many people that got started here, some wrestlers that wrestle here before they even went anywhere. I get a chance to talk to them now, to interview them, but there were so many of them. WWE stars, legends that got their start here in Puerto Rico for years. And a lot of them talk to me about how much they love the island and they love the food. Recently, I had a great experience interviewing Rikishi, and he just went on and on about how good the Puerto Rico food is and how much he missed it because he spent a long period of time here.
That's great. And I see those people, and you can see that they obviously, when they come to WWC, they light up because there's a love for not just the promotion, but for the entire culture in Puerto Rico as well, which is incredible.
Yeah, we just had John Morrison was here wrestling last weekend, and I'll give you an example. The fans here, They're very outspoken, and the wrestlers know it and they love it. They have these little air horns that they're blowing the entire time. Watch one of my vlogs, you'll hear it. And that's just how it is here. And the fans with a freaking speaker is just yelling at Morrison, like, Bad Bunny kicked your ass. Bad Bunny's your daddy. Like you would think that it was like so disrespectful. As soon as the match ended, everybody got on their feet and they gave Morrison a standing ovation. So it's just the kind of banter that happened here, but it doesn't mean that they're not respectful to the performers in the ring.
It's a little bit in mind of fans in the UK, how they will give the wrestlers so much grief, but at the end of it, when the bell sounds, it's like, yeah, fair play, mate. Well done. Great work. Like, there's so much love there at the end of
it. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly how it went. And I was able to capture, I posted a blog ship club on my channel of my experience, just not behind the scenes doing my job, because I was there with Lucha Libre Online getting interviews and covering the event as media. But once I got done doing all my interviews, I was like, excuse me, I'm going to go enjoy this card because they put on a hell of a show. So I was able to do a vlog / behind the scenes. It was a lot of fun.
And you will give all the details where people can find your blog and stuff at the end of this. But before we do all that, we've got one more match to choose for you, Issa. So far, Royal Rumble 2020, one that you've selected. That Royal Rumble spectacular triple threat between Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins, and John Cena. What would you like your third and final one to be?
This one came as a shock as I was doing my eliminations. It eliminated, I will tell you, like I did with the Royal Rumble match, it eliminated Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus The Miz and Morrison, just okay. Because I love Bad Bunny. He's from my hometown. I have 3 Bad Bunny tattoos. Like, this man is like a god to me. So seeing him wrestle, and most importantly, he was announced from my hometown. It was very sentimental to me, but it's not necessarily a match that I will go back and watch. It just means a lot to me. So that's why he got eliminated. For very recently, it's gonna shock you, it's the last man standing match at last year's SummerSlam between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns.
Oh, fantastic. Brock Lesnar.
That match has everything I love about professional wrestling. The chaos, the tractor, the hard hitting, the Roman Reigns, like everything going on. I got to watch that match from the press box with other members of the media. Now, Tom, when I first got started, it was reactions, right? So I don't fake my reactions. I record my face. All my reactions have been controversial because people are like, oh, you've been disrespectful, because I'm not reacting the way they expect me to. And I remember thinking, these are my 2 favorites of all time. Like, I know everybody's over that feud. I wasn't. I love them. So I remember looking around and seeing everybody, all the lovely people from the wrestling media, reacting the way that I was. And I was like, it's not just me. I'm not exaggerating here. This match is a good match. And I watched it that night as soon as I got back to my hotel. I loved everything about that match. Hopefully it's the last one, because I think that's how they should end that story. But there's nothing not to love about that match, or that you couldn't watch over and over again. It's chaotic, it's funny, it's hard-hitting, it's a good match. There's so much going on. I just thought it was perfect.
I love how we're bookending with Brock Lesnar matches, because you've said before, Brock Lesnar is one of those guys, he's your beastie. He's the guy that you know you really clicked with when you joined wrestling. And the Brock Lesnar in that triple threat at the Royal Rumble is a very different Brock Lesnar to the one we saw last year. Like, cowboy hat wearing, fun loving, tractor driving, like really cutting loose Brock Lesnar. I think it's hard not to fall in love with Brock Lesnar when he's being silly, isn't it?
Cowboy Brock, especially when he won the Money in the Bank briefcase and he showed that other side of him with the boombox. Like, you can tell that Brock just likes to have fun. And seeing this version of him and just letting him be, I've had a lot of fun with this Brock Lesnar run. Obviously, I have to get a Roman Reigns match in there. Roman Reigns is my favorite of all time. That's not going to change. It's never going to change. People try. You can say anything about Roman. Like, and it's just not going to change. He's my favorite. I bond with Roman in a very different way, just because of health issues that I went through, that he helped me watching his matches and watching his run and watching people boo him and me trying to defend him, and now seeing everybody loving him, and I'm over here like, really? Now you like him? So I had to get a Roman Reigns match in there, and there was a lot to pick from, but that one, I just remember smiling throughout the entire match.
I have to say, as you say, as a guy, as a Roman Reigns fan, as you've been there throughout the entire thing, and you've always been a fan, even when like his ardent critics were out with pitchforks. And you know what? Myself included, when Roman Reigns was like the top good guy, I struggled to bite on it. I think now he is absolutely at his peak. He's doing the best work he's ever done. And you know what? The phrase from my favorite phrase is from a book called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is, I would rather be happy than right. And I think that I was very wrong in my estimation of Roman Reigns' impact on the business. That. You know, and I'm happy to be wrong on that, because I think he's been fantastic. But having said that, does it annoy you a bit that only now people are coming around and going, hey, yeah, I like Roman Reigns as well, knowing that you've been there the whole time?
No, because it validates what I always thought. It just took some time, but it validates what I knew he could do. You look at Roman Reigns, and I would even tell you, one of his biggest fans, that he's not an underdog. And that trying to book him as, you look at Roman Reigns and he's the guy you want to be or want to be with. This is the guy that's going to fight from behind, you know? So I never really bought it, but I saw it and I liked it. I thought he had it. I'm telling you, that first event, I remember that was the first person that caught my eye when the Shield came down. I was like, who is that? And my nephew's like, my nephew was like, oh, it's Roman Reigns. And I'm like, what? He's hot.
You is he know? Free? Is he free on Friday night? Hello, Roman.
I will share a funny story with you.
Oh, please do.
Right? I will share a funny story with you. When I first started loving Roman, I started a hashtag on Twitter, and it was Roman Reigns gives me Ladywood. Okay. And this hashtag went crazy to the point that even Roman knew about it. He would like the tweet back then.
So that was, hang on. That was you. That was you that started that.
Yes. The Ladywood for Roman, that was me.
Touche. I remember seeing that hashtag. It's amazing.
You saw it?
Yeah, I remember seeing it.
Oh, I think we have a delay again.
I think we do, yeah. We'll work through it.
Yeah, we have a little bit of a delay again.
Finish so telling your Roman Reigns story and I'll be quiet.
So when I first met him at a meet and greet, the first thing Roman Reigns said to me was, how's that lady would now?
Oh, so he knew it was you.
Yeah, he knew.
Well, how did you answer the question? I must know. How did you answer?
Oh, I said it's so hard.
You're a massive pervert. Brilliant.
He loved it.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did.
I was doing it to troll online. He knew what I was doing.
I think Roman Reigns Ladywood seems to be the appropriate place to call time on our time together. We'll end it on a high. It has been the greatest joy to invite you to Cultaholic Island today. I want to send people your way. If they're not familiar with your work yet, where can people find you day to day?
My YouTube channel is NYC Demon Diva. I do live streams. I watch Raw, NXT, Dynamite, SmackDown, pay-per-views when I'm not attending them. and I do blogs of the events that I do attend. So my YouTube channel, NYC Demon Diva. You guys can also find me on the Wrestling Inc. podcast on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I also do work with Lucha Libre Online for those of you who want to see the Spanish side of it.
Wonderful stuff. And look out for presumably more Roman Reigns Ladywood coming to a YouTube channel near you. Courtesy of Issa, NYC Demon Diva. Thank you for joining us on Cultaholic Island, and stay safe out there.
Thank you for having me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.